Okay, thank you very much. Our lunch discussion today, I think, follows on very nicely from our previous panel, with a presentation by someone closely involved in the process, if you like, of the South Caucasus East-West Transportation Corridor, particularly through the South Caucasus. And let me introduce him very, very briefly. Since 2007, Vitaly Baylarbayev has been the Deputy Vice President of the State Oil Company of Azerbaijan, in charge of investments and marketing. He previously held the position of Deputy Chief of the Foreign Investment Department of SCOR. And between 2009 and 2007, he was the Transportation and Marketing Manager of AGIP KCO. Vitaly is a member of the International Association of Oil and Gas Negotiators and a member of the Board of Directors of the international pipeline company Samartia. It's all yours.
Thank you very much to you all. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me, and I'm here at extremely short notice, and it was extremely difficult, to be very honest, to make it. But it's a pleasure to be here with you. And again, thanks for the organizers, not only for inviting me, but also for helping me with the small logistical problems which I've got on the way here to D.C. As for the presentation and our views, the attempt will be now made to familiarize politically driven minds with the mind of the commercially driven producer. And I have an honor to represent here today the State Oil Company of Azerbaijan Republic, the company which 100% belongs to the state. And obviously our actions are closely coordinated with the state. But nevertheless, our actions are primarily commercially or pragmatically, as Mr. Suleymanov mentioned today, driven. And that probably I will try to make kind of a red note of that throughout the whole of the presentation of what we are doing. Do not expect big surprises. You know the stuff quite well. You also described the stuff rather in details during today's very, in my opinion, fruitful and good seminar. Nevertheless, we will try to add something to the discussions you were already having. So what we do today is a result of almost 15 years or more than 15 years work, which we in the State Oil Company, with my modest participation, were doing starting from 1990s. And that was the time when we, with the great help of the others, including companies, including countries, political assistance and political support, as well as material investment assistance achieved today, making small country of Azerbaijan, country with 8 million people, quite well known to the rest of the world, quite important on the energy maps of the world, and we're proud of that. So we signed 26 PSAs. Not all of them are working because this is oil and gas industry. Not all of them were connected with actual discovery success or successes. And we managed to get $37 billion worth foreign investments into the country. Again, quite a modest figure maybe for many countries you represent or you live in, but quite a big, big number for Azerbaijan and the biggest per capita in the former Soviet Union. That's the truth that we were able to attract them, not only because of our efforts, but also because of the well-thought strategy or policy. Policy where each of those PSAs has the full force of law in our country. They are law of the land, and none of those provisions, since all of this 15 years, and we celebrated actually 15th anniversary of the biggest one, Azeri-Chirag and Gyunashli PSA in September of 2009, none of those PSA, none of the word in those PSA has been changed by us or by our partners. And that's one of the components, I believe, of our success, component which actually adds to the fact that we are hoping to have more partners in our country. We are inviting more companies to work in Azerbaijan. We're signing more PSAs. In the course of 2009, we signed two. We are planning and aiming for a couple of other big PSAs in the course of 2010, and we are working on that. 34 international energy companies. Practically most of the oil and gas majors are now operating in Azerbaijan. 15 countries they represent. And again, this is part of our strategy. We would like to establish close, working, friendly relationships with many, with as many as possible, creating for them conditions in their day-to-day work and in their long-term relationships. What we are producing currently, with the participation of the foreign companies, it's close to 1 million barrels per day, in fact, 950. Million barrels of oil per day. Plus, we have SOCAR's own production, which now looks much more modest comparing to what we are making together with our partners. So overall, Azerbaijan produces more than 50 million tons of crude oil per year, and most of this crude, about 48 million tons, of total is exported. We are planning to increase this production, and we're shooting for 52 million tons in the year of 2010. Important part of what we have achieved is our gas. Gas which we were producing in relatively modest quantities during the Soviet Union time. At that time, we were producing about 10 PCM per annum. Then this number declined, and when it has been reduced, we were importing gas from our neighbors. We were importing gas from Russia. And we were importing gas from Russia until 2006. And in 2007, they promised us prices which we couldn't afford simply, and we considered those prices as not fair prices. And we just refused from that contract. We stopped it. And now, from 2010, we are exporting our gas to the Russian Federation, but not only to the Russian Federation, and I will come to that. So gas production in 2009, comparing with 8, 10, which we were having before, 27 BCM per year. We are aiming for as much as 50, 55 BCM by 2020. When it will happen, Azerbaijan will already play a much more serious role in the gas supplies to the international markets, to the European markets, and we're absolutely certain that this will happen soon. Let's get through the main elements of our energy strategy. At the first place, obviously, maintaining energy security of the country. We manage that already. We are fully covering all our needs in Azerbaijan, and we are consuming about 9.5 BCM of gas, with the expectation to increase this number by probably in 3-4 years' time by another 2 BCM. International cooperation. I also touched upon this, explaining who is working and what companies are doing. Optimization of management of the state oil company. We are doing this right now. We are working with the assistance of the foreign consultants. We are changing the way we manage the state oil company and its operation. By the way, we are as big. We are too big, I would even say. After the merger of the state oil company of Azerbaijan Republic with Azerigaz, another state entity, which was involved mainly into the gas distribution within the country, but also with gas export activity because they were running pipelines, going out, gas pipelines going out of Azerbaijan. We now more than 80,000 people. 80,000 people in 9 million country. Together with the families, it's quite an important part of the population. Pretty much the population of Azerbaijan, through this particular direct oil and gas connection, depends on what state oil company is doing. Oil revenues management, that's another important part of our strategy, another aspect in which we consider ourselves as being extremely successful. And we implement that through the allocation of all of the proceeds, without exceptions, all of the proceeds which are related to the state of Azerbaijan, to the state oil fund of Azerbaijan, which is working under the direct control of the executive powers of the country and under the control of the NGOs of the country. It's absolutely transparent. All the proceeds are audited by the international auditors on the annual basis. It's the member of the so-called Energy Transparency Initiative. And again, we managed to accumulate quite significant amount of the proceeds in this fund, and we are spending them effectively to support different areas of Azerbaijani economy, and at the first place to support the life of the refugees and people who are forced to live in the quite harsh conditions. Expansion of geography of our operation and investment portfolio of the state oil company. That's another important aspect we are making. And this expansion started, obviously, in our region. And we started from Georgia. And now we are supplying Georgia with a significant amount of gas. Again, we'll come to that. And with almost 50% of oil products which Georgia consumes comes from Azerbaijan. We are working together with our own company in Georgia on the certain transportation issues. We are running pipelines across the territory of Georgia. We have our own terminal in Georgia. We have a retail system in Georgia, which we are actively developing, and we are supporting and developing gas distribution system in Georgia. Georgia is an important part of our operations. Another important part in our operations is Turkey. And in Turkey, we have a number of enterprises where we participate, but the biggest one is Petkim, petrochemical complex, in the city or near to the city of Izmir, where we have majority stake purchased in 2008. We aim to turn this petrochemical complex into the, which is actually already biggest in Turkey, into one of the major suppliers to the Turkish market primarily and to the regional markets of the petrochemical products. Currently, the niche of this petrochemical complex is about 30% of the total consumption of petrochemical products in Turkey. We aim to reach the level of 40% and increase it further. Diversification of consumer markets and export transportation routes for Azerbaijan hydrocarbons. Well, quite obvious subject. We managed quite successfully to achieve such a diversification. We are trying to achieve the further diversification. We have 7 pipelines. Again, we will see all of them. Delivering our oil and gas into all major available destinations in the Caucasus and beyond. And contribution of the development of the Southern Energy Corridor strategy. That's, again, important part one of the key elements of our energy agenda. For us, that means cooperation with the gas transportation projects, with Nabucco, ITGI, TAP, White Stream, the others. And again, we will have a look on that in a bit more details. That for us, it's further development of oil transportation flows across our territory. What are our principles primarily with regard to the gas deliveries? That's obviously, at the first place, the same diversification or development of as many transportation options along as many directions as possible. We would like to meet growing demand in Europe. We would like to meet demand beyond Europe. Where possible and when possible. We would like to have a direct link between us as a producer country and end consumer markets. And with this regard, obviously, we need to consider Nabucco, and we are considering Nabucco, and we need to consider other projects which can provide us with such a direct access. We are considering other options as well, and again, we will come to that. When we are developing our transportation options, we will be developing them, and we will expect from the others to do the same, to develop them without blocking transit of the competing flows of the hydrocarbons. Doesn't matter where those hydrocarbons are coming from. Again, in our actions, we are driven by the commercial viabilities and not because of the political agendas. Freedom of transit and non-discrimination, extremely important point for each and every producer everywhere. And we will be stand firm beyond these points, and we are trying to achieve the same stability and the same firmness of transit in our relationships with Georgia, with Turkey, with the others who are willingness to provide us with the transit rights. But we are also prepared to provide the same type of freedom and the same type of non-discrimination to the others the others who maybe will be willingness to transit across Azerbaijan. And that's another important feature. If before we were just at the first stage thinking of developing our resources, then at the second developing transportation solutions, we are now thinking of turning Azerbaijan and its territory into the transit territory for the other flows of the hydrocarbons, maybe competing flows of the hydrocarbons, as I already said, which are willingness to reach Azerbaijan's territory and go across it to reach international markets. So who are we? Are we really the cork in the geopolitical bottle, how we were called a long time ago, Bazbek Brzezinski? Or we are key, as we are considering ourselves, to the Central Asian energy resources? We believe into the second. We have certain, if you wish, requirements or desires which we would like to see from our partners. And from this point of view, we are considering that transit countries should be our reliable partners for both, for us as producers who are interested in delivering our resources, whether this is oil or gas, to the end consumers, and for the same consumers who are definitely should not end up in the situations we were observing 2 years ago. How to maintain the value of the product, in particular gas product, for us? For this, you need to have a transparent, stable, and properly defined regime, a regime which is supported probably in the similar way to the way we are supporting the similar regimes in Azerbaijan, by the force of law, by the appropriate ratifications, maybe in certain cases by certain exemptions, but the regime should be absolutely predictable. And finally, implementation of such, all this kind of put together, clear, transparent, cost-based, and stable transit regime for the transportation of our and others' resources across the territories should be in line with the international commitments. That's another important point. I promise to explain a bit of what you know quite well, how we are dealing with our crude oil exports. Currently, we have as a main pipeline BTC, supported by Baku-Novorossiysk and Baku-Supsa. We are exporting Azeri Light through BTC. There is a bit small component of Kazakhstani Tengiz oil in it. And only Azeri Light, purely Azeri Light through Baku-Supsa pipeline. Capacities, 60 million ton expanded capacity of BTC. 5 million ton, and we are delivering about 2.5 million tons per annum through Baku-Novorossiysk, and 7.5, we are delivering about 5 million tons per year is Baku-Supsa. By this, we are reaching different markets. We are delivering our oil into the Mediterranean. We have quite serious position in the Black Sea market also. Through Baku-Novorossiysk, we are delivering Urals, Russian blend primarily. We incur certain losses, but at the same time, I need to underline that this pipeline and agreements defining the work of this pipeline are well working for more than 14 years already. They were signed in 96, operational in 97. Since that, again, no significant changes. There were attempts to have changes from the Russian Federation side. There were attempts to introduce changes from our side as well. But both countries are successfully operating this route, and we operate kind of half of it on our territory. The Russian side operates their half on their territory, quite successfully cooperate with this regard. We will come back to this pipelines comparing what is happening now in the sphere of the transportation of gas with what had happened before with the transportation of crude. I promise that we will cover a bit what is happening today with our gas. Remember I said we are producing 27 BCM per year, quite a big number for Azerbaijan. Not all of that we are able to export. We started exports to Russia, 0.5 BCM per annum, since January of 2010. We are delivering 1.6 BCM of our gas to Georgia, and that constitutes about 80% of the Georgian gas consumption. So Georgia so much highly depends on the deliveries from Azerbaijan, and obviously those deliveries will continue on the stable and transparent basis as they are continuing today. We are delivering 6.6 BCM through the South Caucasus pipeline, or Baku-Tbilisi-Erzurum pipeline, to Turkey. That's in line with the sale and purchase agreement between Azerbaijan and Turkey. That's in line with our obligations to deliver Turkey gas from the stage one of the Shah Deniz field. And we are working with our Turkish colleagues on the further increase of these numbers, further increase of the supplies to the Turkish market through the future deliveries from the Shah Deniz 2 or second phase of the development of the Shah Deniz field. If there will be questions, I'm prepared to comment on that more. In the direction of IRI, or Islamic Republic of Iran, goes about 0.4 million BCM of gas, or 400 million cubic meters. That's, again, an important component of what is happening between Azerbaijan and Iran. The contract for that was signed a long time ago, in 2004. Deliveries primarily during the winter time started in 2005. They are ongoing. There is a trend to increase those deliveries, not non-significant increase, but still there is a trend to increase this, say, by another 100 million cubic meters per year maybe. This gas which we are sending to Iran, it doesn't end up in the Iranian territory. It's a swap operation through which we are feeding the isolated Nakhichevan, our autonomous republic, which doesn't have any other energy connection and which was simply freezing during the winter periods, and the weather there, for the information, is about minus 40, minus 45 sometimes during the winter time. And they didn't have any supply of energy. So what we are doing with Iran is definitely energy security of Nakhichevan, integral part of our territory, territory which ended up being isolated because of the same conflict you were discussing in details today. So we intend to continue these deliveries and maybe to increase them. We intend also, and it might be the good solution, to organize swap of the oil products. Oil products from Azerbaijan also are going across the Iranian territory and reaching Nakhichevan by the cars and by the trucks. And there are proposals to organize swaps, not to cover such a long distances with the trucks, but just to deliver to the northern areas of Iran. And Iran, northern areas of Iran, by the way, they also have quite high appetite for gas and for the oil products. They are quite poorly supplied by the central government. There are no pipelines running from the south of Iran to the north of Iran. There are no refineries in the close proximity to those bordering with Azerbaijan region. So that's another important for us destination. And the last destination which is shown on this slide is Greece. Greece, which the first European country we were able indirectly through the cooperation with Botash, which it's our molecules, if you wish, but not our contract. Greece, which we are supplying with 0.8 BCM of our gas per year, and Greece, with which we signed a memorandum underlining the willingness of Greece to buy and our readiness to supply another one, if parties will agree on further, 2 BCMs of our gas, if there will be a transit agreement with the Republic of Turkey. The similar memorandums were signed with Bulgaria, who also wants to get our gas through the territory of Turkey. There are other countries like Israel, for example, who also has a high appetite for the Azeri gas, which also can be delivered without significant problems across the Turkish territory and then to the territory of Israel. Major projects. And when we're talking oil and gas, without transportation, those reserves are nothing. So what we are doing as our strategic developments are primarily transportation projects. And I would like to cover one, which was not at all mentioned today, wasn't mentioned because probably it's not in the focus of your interest. But in our opinion, this project can constitute quite a significant alternative route for the deliveries of not only Azerbaijani, but Central Asian oil to the markets of Central and Eastern Europe. That's so-called Euro-Asian oil transportation corridor through the extension of Odessa-Brody oil pipeline to Poland, to the city of Płock, where five countries, through the participation in the international pipeline venture Sarmatia, are participating, and those countries are mentioned here. The second strategically important project, again, we will go through all of them in a bit more details, is development of Kazakhstan-Azerbaijan Trans-Caspian system. Don't mess it with the pipeline. It's not pipeline. It's multimodal transportation, which involves pipeline in Kazakhstan, shipping in between, pipeline connecting pipeline or pipelines in Azerbaijan, and then through the existing infrastructure deliveries to the international markets, to the Black Sea, and the Mediterranean through the BTC, through possibly existing pipeline like Baku-Supsa or Baku-Supsa 2, if it's required. Then gas. Infrastructure for the links between East Asian gas, our gas, if you wish, and the Central Asian gas, and the EU is our another priority. I'm not listing these priorities in any order. This is simply the projects where we and me are closely working on the daily basis. The first one, Euro-Asian transportation corridor. As you can see, this corridor, if built, will connect Caspian region, Azerbaijan, Georgia, crossing Black Sea with Trans-Black Sea shipping to the port of Odessa, and then through the existing Odessa-Brody and missing link between Brody and Płock, one of the options is shown here, the shortest, the most appropriate in the opinion of Sarmatia joint venture, is Adamova, can deliver a significant amount of oil, up to 40 million tons, as our feasibility study proposes. But being developed in stages, it allows actually more modest deliveries from the very beginning and with increase in the future. That's quite an interesting project from many points of view. And one of those points will be that Azerbaijan, in fact, supports each and every transportation option which is supported by the others, which is supported by the transit countries, by the producers, and Odessa-Brody or Euro-Asian oil transportation corridor is a perfect example of such a project. It's supported by the countries of the corridor, by Azerbaijan, by Georgia, Ukraine, Poland, and Lithuania, who is also small but still participant in our venture and plays an important role. Lithuania and Poland, they bring kind of European policies, European style, European wishes into the activity of Sarmatia. What we can reach, what particular markets or refineries we can reach if we will go across this route? We can reach Slovakia. Using the Southern Druzhba, we can deliver our oil to the refinery in Kralupy, which partially belongs to Polish Orlen. And we can go further. I'm not even talking that we can deliver our crude to the territory of the Ukraine. It's absolutely obvious. We can deliver crude to the refineries in Płock and Gdansk. We can deliver our crude going through the extension of Druzhba to the Central Europe, to the German and Sweden refineries. That's what constitutes the major beauty of this project. Oils from the Caspian region, not necessarily Azerbaijani only. Oil from Kazakhstan, oil from the same Russia, and it's shown on this slide that there is a connection from Novorossiysk, it's obviously shipping, connection from Novorossiysk where oil can come to Odessa and then reach those refineries. Sarmatia, as international venture, is successfully working. Already finished a feasibility study, which proved that the project could be viable. We are starting the design stage of the implementation of this project, and we will see how the politics, which are affecting obviously what is happening, the politics of the countries of the route will affect the future implementation of the project. As I said, Azerbaijan definitely supports this route as well as other routes which might be developed to deliver crude to the international markets. The second one, which is by the size the biggest actually project which might be implemented in the region and will be implemented, definitely will be implemented in the region. The question only is how big will be the size, is KACTS or Kazakhstan Azerbaijan Caspian Transportation System, or Trans-Caspian Project, Trans-Caspian System, how it's also often called. That's transportation of crude from the territory of Kazakhstan, and the intergovernment agreement, which was signed back in June of 2006, envisages Kazakhstani oil, delivery of the oil from Kazakhstan, Kazakhstani origin oil, to Baku by the means of the tankers. The most effective size of the tankers still to be determined. But the kind of common opinion, prevailing opinion, is that it will be tankers of much higher tonnage than currently exists in the Caspian Sea. To Baku, then connection with Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan and other existing infrastructure, including railways. And then, if required, and the requirement will come if the amount of this crude will exceed 40 million tons in general, maybe new pipeline, potentially in the corridor of existing Baku-Supsa, reaching the Black Sea coast. The project is developed in close cooperation with Kazmunay Gas, with the participation of the interested shippers, and interested shippers are shippers which are also co-owners of the Kashagan field and the Tengiz field. So it's Chevron, ExxonMobil, it's a European group of companies working on Kashagan together with the same Exxon. And the project envisages the delivery of at least 56 million tons of crude across the Caspian and then through the existing and future infrastructure to the markets. That's a huge amount. That's a huge amount for the Caspian. That's a huge amount for our infrastructure, and that's quite a big task. And obviously the future of this project is somehow connected with the development of the other regional pipelines, other regional projects, including the CPC, its expansion, including what will happen with Atyrau-Samara link, what will happen with the Chinese link, whether there will be any deliveries into the territory of Iran from Kazakhstan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we believe into this project. This project was widely supported and is supported by the government of Kazakhstan and by the government of Azerbaijan. Again, as I said, where the transit country or the country producer and the transit country demonstrate their willingness to cooperate with us, we are doing that, and we are doing that so far with the success. Gas. Gas is obviously the subject, everyone's interest, we understand the importance of it, and we attach quite big of attention to what is happening with our gas and with the gas from the Central Asia. Our aim is to establish kind of a modern Silk Road, if you wish. Direct energy and transportation links between us and the Caspian states, littoral states. That will allow to open a new gas supply corridor to Europe. That's the fact everyone knows. That's an important factor contributing to stabilization of the European gas market. That's fine. But that will create additional competition. And competition is something which we definitely and everywhere welcome. We believe that competition can even increase the value of our gas when delivered to the European consumers. Projects which can help us to realize that, obviously, expansion of the South Caucasus pipeline, Baku-Tbilisi-Erzurum. That's a key element in existing system. To deliver the future volumes from Shah Deniz 2, this pipeline needs to be expanded from its current capacity of about 9 BCM up to the capacity which will be required to satisfy the desire of the future transportation project owners like Nabucco, like the others, to the capacity which will need to take into account what might be delivered from another source of the Caspian Sea, from Turkmenistan in the first place, and potentially from Kazakhstan. Again, we are developing this Trans-Caspian gas transportation link together with our partners from Kazakhstan, and with the assistance from the U.S. government. We have an USTDA-sponsored study which was launched early in 2009 and which is supposed to be finalized in June of 2010, which is actually a study aimed to deliver to us as a product the valuable solutions for the Trans-Caspian gas business, whether this business originates in Turkmenistan or in Kazakhstan. But again, coming to the same point, we will be not developing this option. We will, if there will be no desire from the producers, from the owners of those resources, to deliver gas in our direction. But if there will be such a desire, then there will be a regime provided, as I explained in the beginning, with all of those transparency, clarity, stability, and so on, so ongoing provisions, which will secure the effective work of this gas corridor or corridors in the long-term perspective, long-term run. Among those projects which we are considering is obviously ITGI. It was mentioned today. Aimed to deliver gas to the territory of Greece and Italy primarily, and then from Italy theoretically to the other further European markets. Project with a relatively modest capacity, but capacity which can fully satisfy what we can deliver. Nabucco, project of the highest priority for the European buyers, as they say, and with the highest capacity, and obviously because of that, with the highest priority for us. If built, if achieved, Nabucco will provide us with stable and reliable route connecting us to the heart of Europe, connecting us with Baumgarten, and from Baumgarten we can deliver gas practically everywhere, which is our goal, which is our interest. But the question was asked today, and the answer was provided by Mr. Sokar absolutely precisely and correctly. Can Nabucco survive only with Azerbaijani gas? No. Can our 8 BCM or 10 BCM of gas support the efficient operation of Nabucco pipeline if built? No. Or if it can, then it will be done at our expense, because basically we will be transporting our 8 or 10 BCM through the 31 BCM pipeline alone. So we will be paying all those operating expenses alone unless someone else would like to take this burden on their shoulders. Is there enough support to Nabucco? I don't know. I don't know, but what I know is that Nabucco is working closely with us on the quite long-term basis, and we don't see a big progress. What we know is that even among the shareholders of Nabucco are disagreements, and they come to us with the conflicting messages. And we cannot work with the entity which provides us with the conflicting messages. Yes, it's true that the countries of Nabucco provided Nabucco with required political support, support which is demonstrated in the intergovernmental agreement, which is now in the process of ratification in the different countries. But Nabucco doesn't end with intergovernmental agreement. Nabucco requires this project support, how they call them, agreements, or how we will call them using our experience, host government agreements, which should identify in more details the commercial structure of Nabucco and the benefits and protections for those who will place their gas into Nabucco. And again, please keep in mind that Nabucco, yes, it's an expensive project. Yes, it's 9 billion euros. But Shah Deniz 2 is $22-24 billion of investment. So sanctioning one pretty much depends on sanctioning of another. We cannot start the development of Shah Deniz Stage 2 gas without full reliance on the transportation route still to be selected. We cannot select such a route if we don't have a clear conditions for the transit of our gas across the territory of the Republic of Turkey, because in the absence of the transit conditions, we don't know what can offer to us the Trans-Adriatic pipeline, what can offer to us ITGI, how we can deliver our gas to Bulgaria or to Greece, and also to our own enterprise or enterprises within the territory of the same Turkey. So that's a dilemma, if you wish, which needs to be resolved as soon as possible. That's the dilemma which requires definitely attention and significant effort. That's a dilemma which cannot be resolved by Azerbaijan only. That requires cooperation, assistance, support, creative vision, special approach from the European Union in the first place. And that's what we are aiming for. That requires, obviously, reaching an agreement with Turkey. That requires it's not only Azerbaijan's decision, by the way. It's decision of Azerbaijan and its partners, whether we are talking about, if we are talking about Shah Deniz Stage 2 gas. And we have partnerships which is very strong, which has very strong commercial sense in what they are doing. And because of the lack of such solution, we cannot sanction Shah Deniz 2. We already have excess of our gas, as I explained. If you will add all these volumes which we are delivering to four major destinations and what we are producing, you will see that we don't know where to send the excess of gas which we already have now, which we will have from 2010 until at least 2016, when Shah Deniz 2 will come on stream. So between now and 2016, we need to find out what to do with BCMs of our gas, which is currently going to Iran, which is currently going to Russia, which is going to Turkey, and indirectly to Greece. We are interested in increasing the possibilities for this type of deliveries. Trans-Adriatic pipeline, another one of the similar modest capacity, but with a strong composition of the shareholders, and this composition is getting stronger and stronger. There is information that there will be new sponsors to this project very soon. It's also of interest to us, to the similar interest as ITGI. It allows us to get a transportation solution, which will in turn allow us to sanction Shah Deniz Stage 2 and allow us to develop the further gas resources which we have in Azerbaijan, which I didn't mention, but definitely they are in our focus, so-called deep gas of Azeri-Chirag and Gunashli field, Umud and Babek fields, where Sokar conducts its own operation. For the first time, by the way, we are working at such a deep water. We already installed the platform. We are starting the drilling, so that will be a success over there.
How deep?
More than 100 meters. Trans-Black Sea pipelines. We definitely do not want to disqualify those as an option. We are interested in the successful implementation of White Stream if there will be desire and cooperative attitude from the countries which have direct interest in the White Stream, or countries which have indirect influence, countries' territorial waters of which the White Stream need to cross. And last but not least, because we have something else also in mind, are swap projects and CNG and LNG projects. Coming to the swaps. Swap is another option, a swap with across the territory of Turkey, for example, or across the territory of Russia. Are Russians prepared to provide us with such a swap? We don't know yet. But if they will be, we are prepared to increase our deliveries to the northern Caucasus, northern part of the Russian Federation Caucasus, and then to get the equivalent amount of gas somewhere in Europe where Russians will be willingness to deliver and we will be willingness to take. We already have preliminary interests, let's say registered, with the buyers from the United Kingdom for such an operation, for the buyers from Germany for such an operation, for the buyers from Romania for such an operation. So swap operation seems to us absolutely possible, and the only question is whether we will be allowed, whether there will be desire of those who is in between these swaps, whether they are happening across the territory of Turkey or Russian Federation or any other direction, to work with us. CNG and LNG, compressed gas and liquefied one. again, something which we are developing by the initiative of the Balkan countries. Romanians came to us with a proposal to develop LNG link between the facility in Georgia and Romanian ports. Bulgarians came with the initiative to connect Varna and again a Georgian Black Sea coast with the CNG connection. Seems a bit unrealistic, if you wish. Unrealistic in the terms that CNG is not widely spread option. The prevailing opinion is that CNG is primarily good for the fields where construction of the pipeline is not possible or fields of the modest size. But believe me that we started our investigations and we discovered to our surprise that this is possible. To deliver 10 BCM of gas across Black Sea territory is about 1,200 kilometers from the Georgian Black Sea to the Bulgarian Varna. One might require only 14 vessels, each with the capacity of a bit more than 100,000 cubic meters, and that will allow you to deliver annually to act, some of these vessels will also act as a storage, that will allow you to deliver as much as 10 BCM, which is, in fact, the capacity of ITGI or TAP, which is capacity which allows you to start or sanction Shah Deniz 2, if accepted. And such connection will not require consent from the countries I just mentioned, which may have certain influence on the pipeline decisions, even if those pipeline decisions are need to be implemented in the Black Sea. Fantasy, yes, maybe. But there were a lot of projects which were called fantasies in the past. BTC was the first of them. And also I promised to dwell a bit on the issue of gas deliveries and the similarity with what happened with oil. We have successfully operated pipelines delivering our crude through the territory of the Russian Federation. We have deliveries of our gas to the territory of Russian Federation now. We may increase those deliveries in the near term, between now and 2016. And I'm sure that Russians will be interested in those deliveries as much as we are, because we, again, are interested in stable caucuses, well-supplied caucuses, well-heated caucuses, friendly caucuses, caucuses where we are supplying our neighbors with what they need. So if those neighbors are willingness to buy what we have and are ready to provide us with appropriate, and I would say in the case of the Russian Federation, very appropriate prices, why not? We will.
Vitaly, let me just say, we have about 10 minutes to wind up because there's another event coming. Okay, great.
SCP, through the connections with Kazakhstan and Turkmenia, through the possible connections with the territory of Iraq and Russian Federation, which was mentioned, not by us, it's not our initiative, who and how will connect Nabucco with the gas supplies. We will be watching that with interest. We hear that, as I mentioned, we hear sometimes conflicting messages. We hear this message from Nabucco, some owners, that there might be gas from the Russian Federation. If you Azeris will not hurry up and will not commit your 8 BCM of available in the future Shah Deniz 2 gas to Nabucco, then there will be Russian gas. We are not against that. This is not a scare to us. We are not against deliveries from Iraq if those deliveries will materialize. We will view this project as the most interesting, strategically important, the highest capacity project which can definitely satisfy our needs if started, if implemented, if supported. And that's how we see that. We is the state oil company with 80,000 people and with increased foreign participation. We are aggressively opening our offices elsewhere here in the 11 countries and looking forward to open one here in this country, maybe in the near future, if there will be such a desire from this country for us to be here and this market. Thank you very much.
Okay. I don't have any major concluding comments. I prepared some text, but I think because not everybody's here now, we can save that for another day. I think, though, let me just say one thing, that the energy that was generated during the course of today, and I wish we had more time, particularly on that first panel, to cover some of these disputed questions more thoroughly. I think it's convincing us that we should do this more regularly and maybe give more scope and breadth to each of the questions that we've tackled today. So I'd like to thank Ariel for sponsoring, co-chairing, moderating and commenting, and thank all the panelists for being here and, of course, all of you for participating in the discussion. We'll be back. Thank you.